with no monthly fees. So you guys got to get on this stuff. The Smart Stream, no fees, no contract. The Stream Smart Receiver will give you access to movies, TV shows, live sports, pay-per-view events, streams of your favorite TV channels, and 3D movies, all in HD. Now, before I get into the interview, we're going to have the head coach of Reagan High School, Josh McGee, and quarterback Rasky. But before I bring them on, I really have it was good for him at the time, but not good for me. But it's a good Josh McGee story. So I'm going to take you guys back in October 2000. Josh McGee is the starting quarterback at West Forsyth High School. And I don't know how they do it now, but I was at R.J. Reynolds High School. I was a football player. We're in Central Piedmont 4A Conference. As this particular year, if we beat West Forsyth that year, we would have won the conference outright. If we lost, we would have forced a three-way tie for third. So then we're playing. And I just want to go ahead and fast forward it to about a minute and 30 left to go. And the Titans kick off to us. And great athlete, you know, bless his heart in this situation at the moment. R.J. Reynolds, receiver Darrell Mitchell, takes the ball, takes it straight back to the end zone for a touchdown. Well, which is great. It's great on our part. But what I knew is, like, okay, we just left Josh McGee a minute and 15 seconds to magic and get downfield and score. So that's exactly what he did. I want to say it was on third down. Josh McGee gets the ball, scrambles out the pocket, goes straight to the house for a touchdown. That wins in a football game. Now we're stuck in agony of the three head coaches from R.J. Reynolds, South Rowan, and West Forsyth having to pull a number out of a hat for who went to the playoffs. And, you know, I think we got two and West got one and South Carolina was left going home. And that's my Josh McGee story. And I will always remember that story for the rest of my life. And
you've been injured in a car accident. You may feel all alone. Dealing with insurance companies, lost wages, mounting medical expenses, it can all be overwhelming. You may wonder, who will speak for you? After a car accident, before you call the insurance company, call us. At Daggett Shuler, we've got your back. We'll fight to get you the maximum recovery, and we don't get paid until you do. Call Daggett Shuler at 724-1234 for a free consultation.
All right, guys, we're back. We got Josh McGee. Are you here?
Yeah, I'm here.
Josh McGee, can you hear me? Hey,
I can.
I hope you like that little story I told about
you. Man, listen, that's probably one of the greatest games I've ever been a part of. And, you know, kind of like you said, it's something that you'll never forget. And certainly it's a game that I'll never forget. And the way it played out, it was just a great win and a great game.
I got you. Well, I want to start off by asking you. So, you know, I pretty much know your coaching resume. I want to say you got out of Winston-Salem State, started out at Reagan, came back to West, and then you were given the football position at Reagan High School. You've turned that program around tremendously. Tell me the hard work that you put in to get this program to where it's a recognized powerhouse program on this side of the state.
Well, you know, first of all, Josh McGee didn't turn the program around. You know, I've been blessed with, first and foremost, a great staff. You know, I knew when I got that job, I knew that if we were going to be successful, it was going to start with hiring a great staff. People who not only were, you know, very knowledgeable of the game of football, but also guys that I felt like could build great relationships with players. And could be guys that young teenage boys look up to, great mentors. And so we've been very fortunate to hire great staff. You know, we've only lost two or three guys in the 4.5 years we've been there. So our staff has been consistent. It's been the same. And then we've been blessed with great players. You know, that 2011 group of freshmen that came in, you know, Jake Easter, Chandler Belk, you know, Bryson Harrison, those guys all came in that freshman class that first year with us and really bought into what we were teaching. They bought into everything that it took to win. And then last year, you kind of saw it all come together with a 12-2 season. And even now, we're blessed with great kids who are very coachable and, you know, obviously a great school and community.
I understand. So last week's game that you guys had, you guys went down to Iredell County. And, I mean, you guys played South Iredell. And how was the preparation going into that game? Like being an endowment game and that being the first game of the season, you know, how was your team going into that first game?
Well, I think our guys were aware that, you know, those guys won the state championship in 2012 at the 2A level. And so, you know, we tried to prepare our guys that, hey, listen, we're going to play a really good football team. And I really like playing somebody that week one endowment game that you know nothing about them. They know nothing about you. It's somebody new, it's somebody fresh, and you know, our guys went down expecting a dogfight, and that's exactly what we got, and we were fortunate to come out with a win.
Well, explain to me kind of your philosophy as a head coach.
Oh man, my philosophy as a head coach is very simple. It's as a coach, you have to build positive relationships with players. I tell my guys all the time, and they probably get tired of hearing me say it, but my goal is to build a relationship with them that goes far beyond the game of football. Something that, my high school coach was Russell Stone. I love Coach Stone. I still talk to Coach now as often as I can. And that's what I hope I develop with these guys. You know, something that, you know, when football's over and their husbands and their fathers, that we stay in touch and I've made a positive impact on their life. And, you know, again, it's not really a whole lot about football. I love the game of football and the things it's done for me. But for me, my philosophy starts with building that relationship.
When I was doing my research, I came across something that I didn't know about. And I want to say I might have heard about it and just didn't know that was him. But tell me a little bit about, I want to say, Savion Little John and his situation and how it's impacted your program.
Well, you know, Savion is a two-time All-Conference player. He was voted All-Conference his sophomore and junior year. Inside linebacker for us, he's kind of the heart and soul of our program. Late November last year, after the second round game with North Davidson, he woke up that Sunday with a lot of back pain, and it got worse throughout the week. He did not play that third round game against Charlotte Catholic. And then that Sunday, he went to the doctor and was diagnosed with stage 4 non-Hodgkin's lymphoma. And then for the next 6.5 months, he spent, you know, most of his time in the hospital going through 6 grueling rounds of chemo, so many different spinal taps because the cancer was in his spine. And you know, we're just so thankful. You know, today he is cancer free. And you look at his situation, and you look at, you know, you kind of compare it to football and you realize that, you know, football at the end of the day is nothing. And his situation has caused our program to kind of believe in each other a little bit more, to be thankful for the opportunities that we have to play the game and to have him out there with us. I said in the paper a few weeks ago, when he's out there, I think everybody else just feels comfortable. They feel like, you know, hey, they've seen what he's gone through. And they know that in any little adversity they face, it's really a small obstacle to overcome, and it's just a blessing to have them out there.
You know, you mentioned Charlotte Catholic, and, you know, because I hear it all the time, and I really want to know your opinion on it, but there's been this overall stigma that when especially a county program deep into the playoffs, is that they can never beat that school that's coming out of Charlotte. What are your thoughts on that?
You know, I don't think it's fair to say we could never beat them. It's going to happen, but I do believe, and I think every other coach in our county would agree that we don't have middle school football here, and up until a couple of years ago, there hasn't been football for our big kids. You know, our offensive and defensive linemen. So whereas these schools in Charlotte have, you know, true feeder programs who play middle school football, these kids who are big boys, they come into high school with 2, 3, 4, 5 years football experience. And our big guys come in and they're starting from scratch. They've never played football before. And you see it when we lost that game to Charlotte Catholic, I'll be the first to admit, they were a better football team than we were. But they dominated us in the trenches. Their offensive and defensive line just dominated us. And, you know, I really think, you know, when you have middle school football, your big guys get a chance to play early. It makes a huge difference. And hopefully one day it changes in Forsyth County that give our guys an opportunity.
Yeah, and I also know down that way that the actual head coach of the high school actually, I want to say, staffs the JV and middle school team too. So it kind of gives them a little bit of extra experience. And I know it's not the case now, but I know back when you and I were playing Pop Warner, it got up to like Junior Bantam and then this overlighter stuff. And then after you were too much, you just couldn't play anymore. But I think now Pop Warner's changed it to like another league where you could be a little bit more and play. I hadn't been.
Yeah, I think it's
kind of her thing.
Yeah, I think it's, you know, that American Youth Football League, AYFL, which, you know, in that older league gives guys a chance to play. And, you know, I don't know a whole lot about it. I do think that if you're over a certain weight, you have to play on the line. But you know what? That's okay. The guys are getting a chance to play football and learn the fundamentals. And, you know, it's a huge difference when you get to the high school level.
I'd rather have them out there playing on the line than not playing at all.
Absolutely. Anything to get fundamentals taught.
Oh, yeah. So moving forward, what are your goals for this year? What are your team goals this year?
Well, I think as a program, we've reached the point in regards to football, we expect to win every game we play. We really do. There's no doubt in my mind that when we strap it up every Friday night, the 51 players and 13 coaches truly believe we're going to win every game we play. And, you know, our preparation is like that. Our focus is that way. And so from a winning standpoint, we want to win every game. And we want to execute at a very high level. We have a lot of returners back that have, you know, 14 varsity games experience. And so we want to be successful on both sides of the ball in the kicking game and give ourselves a chance to win every game we play.
How do you feel about your participation from your guys in the off season?
Oh, that's, you know, when I got to Reagan in 2011, that was probably the best thing about Reagan High School's football team was that, you know, Coach King and his staff really built a great foundation in the weight room in the off season. Our guys know that, you know, yeah, it's not mandatory, but it's highly recommended, and they look forward to it. I think after we lost to Charlotte Catholic and we really saw that they were bigger, faster, stronger, it motivated our guys to get in every day, work hard. You know, we'll average anywhere from 50 to 60 players every day after school, wanting to get a workout in. And so it's a part of our program that the guys know that, you know, it's expected for them to get in and, you know, build that bond with each other and work hard so that come August, it's easy.
Well, so as a head coach, how are you able to, like, develop these athletes from their freshman year to their senior year?
With a great coaching staff. You know, like I said earlier, you hire guys who are very knowledgeable of each position, guys that have played that position that, you know the small details that it takes to play at the position. And a lot of how committed are your players? You know, are your guys committed to being the best that they can be? Are they willing to put in extra work? You know, this year we were all kind of handcuffed a little bit. We weren't allowed to do any school development. We got the 10 days at the end of the semester. But I think you go to a program, you're excited, you want to be a part of what you're doing. Encourage our guys to play any other sport possible. You get one shot to do high school. So we want them to do all they can, but they know if they're not doing anything, we want them to be with us. But again, I think you hire great guys who are great teachers.
I do understand that. Now, when you say you couldn't practice for 10 days, are you referencing to the North Carolina High School Athletic Association dead period?
Yeah. You know, in the past, we could always take 21 guys out and, you know, things like that. And they took that away from us and gave us the 10-day spring ball philosophy, which, you know, in my opinion, it really kind of set us back a little bit. But, hey, you get what you get. You don't pitch fit and you make the most of it.
You know, I know it just kills me sometimes because it always seems like that it's like your own state trying to help kids. You're trying to help kids. I mean, it shouldn't make a dang whether you got one out there, you got 100. You got 100 kids doing something positive and productive versus 100 kids that could be out there doing something they have no business doing. But
that's right. I think that's a battle. That's a battle we're always going to face. And, you know, hey, the powers that be make the decisions, and we just kind of do what we're told. I agree with you. You know, for us, we see it as, yeah, we're trying to help these guys be better football players, which in turn help us win games. But at the end of the day, if I know they're with me, I know they're not doing something they shouldn't be doing.
Fast forward now, you got Glenn High School as your next opponent. What has been your preparation for that game? Is there any certain things you're working on? Is it something that they do that, you know, not really scares you, but you worry about, you know, as it relates to the guys, the football players in your program?
Yeah, I think Glenn is 1,000 times better than they were last year. You know, new staff, new head coach. He brought in some new guys. You know, so they're going to be well prepared. They're going to be well coached. When you watch them on film, they do a really good job of getting the ball in space to little guys who are extremely fast. And from a defensive standpoint, you have to be able to tackle against these guys. If you're not very good tacklers and you allow them guys to run, it could be a long night for you. We feel really good about our offensive scheme and kind of what we like to do against what they do. But it comes down to execution. And again, that they are a really good football team who's coming off a big win against North. And, you know, I'm sure they're going to be excited for us to come to their place, their first home game. And, you know, but again, I think it goes back, you know, the main focus, I think, for us this week is tackling.
I got you. So were you, in reference to last week's game, were you satisfied with the overall performance of your team?
Oh, we're never satisfied. You know, that's one thing we always talk about. There's so many things we can always do better, and usually they're small things. You know, I thought there are times we played with great effort, and that's something we preach all the time is, you know, we can't coach effort and we can't coach attitude. If we have to waste time coaching those things, we're not coaching football. But, you know, a little disappointed. We were very undisciplined in a lot of situations. We have multiple personal foul calls, things that we just have to do a better job at. And, you know, those personal fouls led to scoring opportunities and made it a lot closer than it probably should have been. But, hey, it's week one, and it's a teaching moment, and you learn from it.
I understand, Josh. Well, I'm going to let you roll. I know you got to go be with the kids. You can feel free to listen in and to me interviewing Skraski. But I appreciate you coming on and giving me your time.
Hey, man, thank you so much for having me on. It's a pleasure, and thanks for all you do for high school sports, man. And, hey, we've known each other for a long time, and I'm certainly thankful for our friendship.
Thank you. Hey, Ben, you here, man?
Yes, sir.
Hey, Ben, well, I want to say congratulations on your win last week.
Thank you.
You're welcome. I want to go into asking you, tell me a little bit about your background as playing football. You know, did you play on the youth level? Tell me a little bit about yourself. So, you know, everybody that wants to know about Ben Skraski, you know, what do you want people to know? Because, you know, right now the only thing that I know is that you have some big shoes to fill of Jake Easter.
Yeah. I started playing back in elementary school. I played for the Forsyth County Broncos on the youth level. Started there, played all the way up until my seventh grade year with them, and then switched over to the South Fork Panthers, where I actually met two guys that are now my teammates at Reagan. So that's really that's my main background there. Started out my freshman year at West Forsyth. Transferred over to Reagan middle of my freshman year, and been there since.
Well, you know, if you want to be a quarterback, a great quarterback, you couldn't have chose to play for a better head coach, right?
Yes, sir. Good.
In football, I want to know what has been like your most memorable experience to date.
I've had both good experiences had both good experiences and bad experiences. Good ones, it's more just like the camaraderie with spending time with the guys. There's memories inside of that. I couldn't ask for a better memory than just than going out and playing with my team. It's really it.
I'm sorry. When I came down to talk to Josh yesterday, I saw you. I think you guys were coming out of fit. Is there anything that Josh told you about last game that you probably need to correct or fix for this game against Glenn?
A little bit of everything. There's not one thing that I did perfectly throughout the entire game. I had a couple of good plays at the beginning, and it was really just staying on track from that point on. For me, it's consistency, and it's going out and doing the right thing every time. Making the right reads, stuff like that.
And that's great. You know, I think I saw the stats. I want to say you're 17 for 19 for 222 plus yards and a touchdown or two, which are good stats. But you strike me as a person, hey, you know, I'm not satisfied with that. You always want to work to get better. So,
yeah.
I guess Josh and Phil, or I'll say Coach Forget, so you should call him Josh, but, you know, Coach McGee and Film, is even though you had a good game, you can have the best game, you still have something that you've done bad.
Oh, yeah. I don't think I know of anybody that can say that they had a perfect game.
I don't think that is. That is what you like. But, the position of that's the person that everybody's going to know around school. That's the person, you're the person. Everybody's game. There's a lot of pressure being put on you to perform. You're the person that activates the play on offense. The play cannot be activated until you activate the play. So that's a tremendous responsibility. Tell me, you know, does it make you nervous? What makes you nervous?
One of the quotes that I discovered this year was by Peyton Manning, and he said, the people that get nervous are the ones that are not prepared. And I was behind Jake Easter the past 2 years, and there wasn't a better person to be behind. It was really just getting to – I learned the system right behind Jake. So Jake was going through and getting the kinks out of the system, and now I'm going through a system that's really been that's been run through, it's been tested. I get nervous before games, but it's not something that's really big. That's I can't move type of thing.
So it's safe to say that Jake Easter set you up pretty good.
Yeah. And Coach McGee did also. The entire staff.
For sure. What's your ultimate achievement? When it's all said and done, and you know, that day comes where you have to make the decision that you can no longer throw a football anymore. Where do you want to be at? What is your ultimate achievement in football? What do you want? What is it?
My ultimate achievement in football?
Yeah. Well, yes.
I just want to be the best player that I can be to fully reach my potential. I don't know how far I can go off of my potential, but I feel like I can go past the high school level. So it's really just doing everything that I can to be the best that I possibly could be. I can't really
I
ask for anything more than that.
And that's great. So what is your biggest challenges and what do you manage these challenges?
My biggest challenge that I face is, like, it's myself, really. My Coach McGee can attest to this, but my biggest problem is that I always overthink things. So it's really getting past that and then finding a way to set myself up and really doing anything.
What are things that you do currently in your training that are keys to your success?
The biggest thing for me is footwork. Starting with the footwork, my footwork sets up everything else. It sets up my throws. It sets up everything. Once I'm working on my footwork, getting that down. Once I get that down, then I go to throwing. Then I work on stuff like that. Right now, my main thing is just getting the footwork and everything down.
We were talking about the off season. I want to say at some point you had the opportunity to work with a pro quarterback coach that's as the quarterback Troy Aikman and Jim Harbaugh. Can you tell me a little bit about that experience?
Yeah. Over the off season, I got to work with Coach Buddy Geis. He works down, or he lives down in Florida. I'm not 100% sure on which part, but he's a great teacher, energetic, and he expects the best that you can be. The one thing that I know that he taught more than anything else was consistency and accuracy. And that's what I've worked on the most. And then I felt like I was accurate. I felt like I was consistent. I started to work on the other pieces that I need to be a complete football player. Working with Coach Geis, it was just like it was an experience. He's just a great guy in general. He's fun to be around. Everybody, I don't know anybody that hates him or dislikes him. He's just a great guy.
Is there a certain football player that plays at next level, I guess a quarterback, that you kind of almost, you know, tailor your game after?
No, I can't say that there is, because the people that I can't say that I want to play like Cam Newton, because Cam Newton has, or Cam Newton's the player he is because of the tools and the players that he has around him. So there's not anybody that I really like tailor my game after. It's just being the best I can be, like I said. If there was anybody that I really could tailor it after, it's Jake Easter, because he is the one that was the closest to. He's just the guy that I've been around, and there is not a lot of things that he did wrong.
What's your favorite kind of offense that you like to play in? Like what offense do you play in now? Do you guys do a spread? What do you guys do?
Yeah, we do a spread offense. That's what I've played in the most. That's what I feel the most comfortable in now. I feel like I can play and fit into like any type of offense that there is. It's just getting it settling into the offense and getting used to it.
Oh, keep going. I'm sorry. Sorry to cut you off. Keep going.
No, that's it. I don't have anything else.
So upcoming game, against Glenn. I'm sure you guys have watched film on that team as well. How are you preparing yourself for this game?
The one thing that Coach McGee, when we watched film, the one thing that Coach McGee told us was that they're mobile, that they don't necessarily have the biggest guys, but they move around a lot. So it's really just doing everything and doing it quickly and doing it precisely. They're a very agile team and athletic team, and it's just having to counteract that athleticism with doing it right, running the right play.
Confident do you feel, you know, as a quarterback, of your passing and, you know, and your accuracy to be able to, you know, to stick the ball in the right spot?
I feel pretty good. I feel confident in myself, and it's really just – I feel pretty confident in myself.
That's all you need to say.
yeah.
What's the best advice – I'm sorry.
Go ahead.
What's the best advice that ever given you has motivated you, you know, as an athlete?
The best advice anybody that I've ever gotten is that you should never be satisfied. That's the best advice I've ever gotten. One of the things that Coach McGee has told us is that he feels that this team can be better than last year's team. And that kind of puts us at a level where every team that Coach McGee has had has gotten better over the next year. So we're at the point now where if we're the exact same skill level as last year's team was, we get 12-2, we're not satisfied with that. We feel like we should have gone 13-1. We should have gone further than what we did last year.
What is when playing, you know, playing football or, you know, the sport of football, it's the hardest part is you got to get, you got to have 11 people to get together to get one job done. So that's everybody's individual to a group effort to get one job done. That being said, what do you find the most challenging about making that happen? It could be like, you know, making sure that everything's communicated properly in a huddle. Like you might say it and, you know, your wide receiver might have thought you said something else. Like what's the most challenging about that?
The most challenging, I would say, is that you have to get everybody on the same page. Everybody has to have the same mindset and they have to have the same goal. If you have that one guy that doesn't want to be on the field, that doesn't want to be there, that guy is detrimental to the play. If 10 people are giving 100% and he's giving 50, that guy is the one that messes up the play. It's typically his effort that really determines whether we win or whether we lose. So it's really just getting everybody to have the same goal and the same mindset.
You know, I was, I think I mentioned something at the top part of this broadcast that I think the teachers give out too much homework. That being said, how do you balance being a student athlete and having homework and having life? How do you find a happy medium?
It's really, you have to learn what you want to sacrifice. The people that are out playing football, they are out there because they want to be out of football. So if you're not sacrificing football, you can't sacrifice school. You may have to stay up an extra 2 hours at night. You may have to get up an extra hour. You may have to get up an hour earlier. It's really just finding the time to do the things you need to do. That's what I've learned. It's really just learning the give and take of everything.
Outside of football, what does Ben Skratzky do in his spare time? Like, you know, over the summer when you're not doing anything with football, like what stuff you like to do?
I really like to spend time with the guys. That was one of my main goals this summer, was that as soon as football was over, I did not try to just, like, go home and say, okay, I'm going to relax. I would go out with the guys. I'd spend time with them, build that relationship with them. And then when I wasn't doing that, I was working on my craft. Go ahead.
No, finish up. I'm sorry.
There's a whenever I wasn't with my friend, wasn't at home doing stuff around the house, I was out with I was out working out. I was lifting, doing footwork drills, stuff like that. Just doing what I can to improve the football player I am.
I got you. If somebody to, you know, all your progression as an athlete and football player, do you have any social media? You know, are you on Twitter or Instagram, wherever you feel comfortable giving out? Where can a college coach or anybody that's just wanting to follow you, where can they follow you at, and what are the handles to the media?
Twitter. I have a Twitter, Twitter, Facebook, and Instagram. Twitter and Facebook would probably be the two best. My Twitter handle is BE_Skratsky17.
Gotcha. I actually hit the follow there because I always like to follow our athletes around here and follow their success and wish them nothing for the best. Now, before I let you go, I always ask this one question because it kind of get into the mindset of, you know, how you think and what kind of person that you are. Now, nobody, it takes them a little bit to come up with an answer to it because it's a question 90% of the people out there has never been asked before. If you could have dinner with two people, living or dead, who would it be and why?
There's a, for any living or dead. This is actually a really tough one. Probably Robin Williams and one of our former coaches, Coach Scott Wendell.
Tell me why.
I don't know. Robin Williams, he seems like he's just a fun guy to be around. I feel like he would, if somebody came up and just, or there's something that happened across the restaurant, he would stand up and react it for us. And then Coach Scott Wendell, last year, or the past 2 years, Coach Scott Wendell was the quarterback coach at Reagan High School. And this past April, he suddenly passed away. And it was somebody that I had talked to like 2 or 3 days before that. And it was almost like I never really got to say goodbye to him. So it's just somebody that I want to talk to again, have that extra conversation.
Those are tough situations right there. Well, Ben, you know, I'm going to let you get off here. I know you probably got some homework to do, and I do appreciate
yes,
your time. And I want to say good luck against school, man. Go out there, do your thing. You know, I wish you the best. You have an injury-free football game and football season. And thanks for being on the show.
No problem. Thank you.
Thank you. That was Ben Skratsky, QB for Reagan High School. You know, he seems like a kid, you know. I wish nothing but the best from this kid. You know, he seems like he works hard. You know, it's when you go from the official football practice to the last game of the season, you're not required. You're not required to come to any work whatsoever. Be weightlifting, skill development, what have you. And the fact that not only does he do that, but he decides he wants to try to elevate his game a little bit more by going to work, you know, with Buddy Guy and help his game out a little bit more. You know, this guy's, like I said, he's worked with Troy Aikman, he's worked with Jim Harbaugh, two of the best quarterbacks in the, you know, at their time. You know, those are student athletes that I like. Those, you know, our student athletes that I want to follow, because they know that talent, I think it's hard works beat talent when talent doesn't work hard. And so those are the kind, those are the kind of kids that you want in your program. You know, I'm excited for him. I am excited that I had him on the show because I just a little bit about a kid, you know, so now, you know, I can share with this to everybody that when they ask me, you know, who have I interviewed on this show? Say, hey, you know, I interviewed Ben Skratzky, the you know, quarterback for Reagan High School. Before I let everybody go, my listeners go, I want to tell you about this new product called Garden of Life. Garden of Life Raw Protein. It is an USDA organic protein. It's organic. Organic is good for your body. There's like no added stuff in there that's gonna tear your body up. It's gardenofliferaw.com. And when I tell you that this is good stuff, I use it. I would never promote anything that I have not used. And I've used this stuff. MMA fighters use it. Colby Covington, a up-and-coming 170 in the UFC, he uses it. Steve Creepy Reason Montgomery, a welterweight in the UFC, and good friend of mine, he uses it. I want you guys to try this stuff. Garden of Life Protein, gardenofliferaw.com. You can also find these products at your local Host Food Store. I want to thank you for tuning in to this week's edition of Access Radio Live. And I hope you guys have a wonderful rest of the week.